I greet you this morning in the name of the risen Christ. Happy Easter. This is the third Sunday of the Easter season, and a wonderful day to be in the house of God to worship together. I'm grateful for all of you who made your way through the cold and the rain to be here to worship. And so we bring ourselves fully to this hour of worship. I would be happy to welcome all of you who are visiting with us this morning. Especially if this is your first time in this particular congregation, we have some folks I know who are here from out of town, and we're so glad that you're here this morning. All of us sign in each and every Sunday. There's a registration pad that hopefully is already making its way down your row, and if you would sign in and let us know that you were here and pass it back down the row, that will give us an opportunity to reach out to those of you who are visiting and to let you know some of the ways we're trying to live out Christ's love in our world. If you are visiting and are interested in knowing more about our church and some of our ministries, we have a building tour this morning. Every month, we do a tour of the building, and we'll invite you to gather at the welcome desk, which is just outside this door at 9:45, and the tour will start from there. This evening at 5 o'clock, we have our service of Teze worship, which we have every month. It is a contemplative, prayerful service, and it's a wonderful outreach into our community as well. So I invite you to come back to the sanctuary at 5 o'clock this evening for that service of worship. Next Saturday is our Sabbath workshop with Dana Trent, and there's more information in your insert and on the website, and that opportunity on the website to register. It's going to be a great learning opportunity next Saturday morning. And also going on next weekend is our plant sale, which benefits the preschool, the children's ministry, and our youth ministry. The plants are provided by Gardens of Babylon, so really good, high-quality plants. And with all this rain, it might not be so difficult to dig into the dirt and plant some new plants to increase the beauty of our earth together. Finally, I'm going to invite Andrew Campbell to come forward. Andrew is the chair of our Staff Parish Relations Committee, and this is the Sunday morning when United Methodist churches all across our conference are hearing the news about their pastoral leadership for the upcoming year, so Andrew's going to share that news with us.
Wow. Good morning, friends. I have good news from our conference. Bishop Bill McAlilly and the Nashville Area Cabinet of the Tennessee and Memphis Conferences in session this week worked prayerfully together to make missional appointments to every church in our annual conference. As chairperson of the Staff Parish Relations Committee, I, like you, give thanks for the ministry of our pastor, Carol Cavan Dillon, who continues to be a servant leader among us. And I am happy to share that she will be returning as our pastor for the 2018-2019 conference year, as if that ever was in doubt. If you would please bow your heads and pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, our living Savior, we give you thanks for our church. It is a gift of grace to us. We are deeply grateful for the leadership of Carol Cavan Dillon, who will continue to serve us as pastor, teacher, leader, and friend in Christ. May your grace be upon her and her family, giving peace and joy and confidence as we begin the new conference year together. Open our hearts and minds to receive the gifts you have for us in these days, as we give thanks for what has been and anticipate what will be. Our life is in you, O God, and through the Holy Spirit, we pray this day. Amen.
It's a blessing to be with you for another year and hopefully many years to come. And also to celebrate, Aaron Racine and Brandon Baxter are also part of the appointive system, and they too are reappointed for another year. So you have your full pastoral team heading into 2018-2019. So thanks be to God. It's a wonderful team to work with. It is now time to turn ourselves toward the scriptures, toward the prayers, toward the singing of this time of worship. So let us open ourselves to receive, to participate, and to give God the thanks.
Christ is our name. Come, let us worship before Christ, our Redeemer. Come, let us worship in the Spirit. The one who calls us to repent hears us. Let us open our hearts to the healing of God's forgiveness as we confess our sins in one voice. God of empty tombs, Peter spoke with power and clarity of his faith while we remain silent. Our doubts overwhelm us. Our fears and unbelief keep our hearts shuttered and locked. Forgive us for misunderstanding your life, death, and resurrection among us. We pray that our hearts and lives be changed through your amazing power. We are God's children, those whose lives have been changed by the one who loves us and forgives us. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love as you are comfortable in doing so this morning. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, hear with joy, say to us today, Amen. A reading from the New Testament. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer at 3:00 in the afternoon. And a man lame from birth was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple called the Beautiful Gate so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the Beautiful Gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's Portico, utterly astonished. When Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "You Israelites, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer given to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The grown-ups to be seated, and any other children who want to come forward, please do. Do y'all know what this is? What is it? It's a transformer. That's right. So, like this, it's a truck, right? It just looks like an ordinary truck that you would see driving down the interstate, right? I don't know if I can do this or not. Oh, look! But then something happens. And he becomes, my understanding is his name is, Optimus Prime. That's right. You guys, I knew you'd know this. See, look at him now. He's like a superhero. He's really strong, and he's a good guy, and he wants to help people. Oh, Grimlock is the bad guy. Well, I don't have Grimlock. I have Optimus Prime. He's strong. I really like that word, transform. You know, this thing gets transformed from an ordinary truck to a big superhero. In our story today, our Bible story that we just heard, we see Peter and John, who are two of Jesus' disciples. And you may remember way back in some stories where Peter was kind of scared a lot, and they had a lot of doubts, and they didn't always understand what was going on. And then in the story today, they go and heal a man. And Peter preaches this great sermon, and all these amazing things happen. And you know what made the difference? The Holy Spirit. The Spirit came into Peter and made him strong and made him brave, and he was really changed by that. And one of the things this story tells me and teaches us is that God helps us to be better and stronger and more confident. God can help us with that and to make us stronger. It's not we who do it, but God does it. So we can be strong and brave too. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you so much for loving us just as we are. And we pray that you will work in us and help us to grow and to love you better, to love our neighbor, to be strong and confident and bold for your sake. And for the sake of your love for all people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys for listening. I may need somebody's help after the service to get it back together. Thank you so much. You can go back to your seats. And a big thank you to Noah Phelps for letting me borrow his Optimus Prime this morning. Before we dig into our scripture story this morning and look at how Peter and John have changed so much, I want to go back and remember what they used to be like. Just a few examples of how they struggled sometimes in those early days of being disciples. You remember that time when all the disciples were in a boat and a storm came up and they got really scared? And they looked out and they saw Jesus walking on the water. And Peter said, "Jesus, if that's you, let me step out of the boat and walk on the water toward you." And he stepped out of the boat and he took a step and he took another step on the water. And then he got scared. And then he started to doubt in Jesus' power to really do this. And he sank. And of course, Jesus rescued him and asked him, "Why did you doubt?" Or maybe you remember when the disciples were trying to cast a demon out of a young man and they couldn't do it. And Jesus came and he cast the demon out and asked them, "Why did you doubt?" Or we all remember in recent days, the days before Jesus was arrested, how scared the disciples were. How on that night in the Garden of Gethsemane, they ran out into the darkness in fear. And early on Easter morning, they were huddled together in a locked room because they were afraid of getting caught. They didn't want to be arrested like Jesus was arrested. But now look at them. Here are Peter and John. In the days after the resurrection, right after the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit had come upon all of them, this is the very first story that Luke tells us after the Pentecost. Peter and John are going to the temple, and they see a man who's been lame from birth. Never once in his life has he been able to walk. And every day there are some kind people who bring him and place him at the beautiful gate at the temple. And he's totally dependent on the charity of other people to survive. And Peter and John look at him, and they say, "In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, stand up and walk." That doubt we saw in Peter on the water is gone. He simply says, "In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk," and he knows it's going to happen. And indeed, the man stands up and all three of them walk in together in the temple, rejoicing. But the story goes on. A big crowd gathers, and Peter sees an opportunity, and he begins to preach. And he openly and publicly, in the middle of the temple, proclaims Jesus as the Messiah, who was crucified and raised from the dead. Now, that's where our story ended this morning. But there's another installment. It was too long to read the whole thing, but it goes on into chapter 4. And it involves the council, the religious leaders. When they hear that there are people preaching and healing in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, they don't like it. They thought they had gotten rid of Jesus of Nazareth. They thought all of his followers had left because they were so scared, and here they are making a ruckus in the temple again. And so they arrest Peter and John. And Peter and John willingly go into custody. And they're brought before the council, and they say their piece. And then in chapter 4, it says this: "Now when the leaders saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and ordinary men, they were amazed, and they recognized them as companions of Jesus." But it wasn't just Peter and John who were transformed. The lame man was also transformed. He was healed and made whole, not just physically, but he was welcomed into the temple. It's possible that he had never been able to get through the door of the temple before, never been fully included in the people of God, always on the margins, always overlooked, always invisible. And now he is welcomed into the people of God and celebrated. So his life has totally been changed by the power of the Holy Spirit and the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This is a story of transformation. We like that word, transformation, transform. It's a word that shows up a lot in churches. The mission statement of the United Methodist Church, making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And our own mission statement as a congregation, live the light, the loving light of Christ, connecting and transforming. We are a people who believe in transformation, who believe in the power of the risen Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit to change us and to change the world. But I have to confess something. As I got myself together this week to work on this sermon and to think about transformation, I got stuck. I bumped up against my own doubt. You see, throughout the course of the week, I'd been involved in conversations and situations of things not changing. I talked to a friend of mine who serves a church not in this area, in another state, who was really disappointed in things that were happening in his church and people being unkind to each other and getting stuck in the little things. And he said he'd been there for several years and had not seen anything change. And I remembered situations and struggles in my own life, my own, you know, family dysfunctions that seem like they just never go away and will never change. I went to a workshop on Friday where we were talking about the struggles of the poor and the marginalized that some days I think are getting worse and not better. And so I sat in this place of cynicism and skepticism. You know, it's all nice to talk about transformation and to think about Peter and John 2,000 years ago, but I don't really know if transformation happens or is happening. And as I sat with that, I felt God's nudging, saying to me, maybe you don't believe enough. Maybe your skepticism is part of the problem. Maybe you need to open yourself to the possibility of what the Holy Spirit can do. Maybe you're like me. Maybe sometimes we are guilty of underestimating the power of God to change us, to change our relationships, to change our world. Maybe we give up too easily. Maybe that's part of what plagues us in our faith and in our churches sometimes, is our lack of hope and our inability really to believe that in the name of Jesus Christ, we can be transformed and the world can be transformed. So I confessed my sin to God, and I began thinking about where I have seen transformation. The image came to my mind of a group of 50 inmates at Riverbend Prison. Once a month, I used to go and help lead worship at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning there. This was a ministry that grew out of Bill Miller's time at Christ United Methodist Church, and Bill goes every month, even now, to lead that worship service. James Sewell, our own James Sewell, goes once a month at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning and stands in that little chapel in Riverbend, and every week that congregation has communion. Every week, everyone gathered in that room hears, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Every week, those men are reminded that they're forgiven, that they have a place at the table. And I can't tell you how many of them have written me letters or have said to me personally, not all of them, but some of them have said, this has changed my life. It has changed how I treat other people. It has changed how I treat myself. To be told and reminded that God loves me no matter what has changed everything for me. Transformation in the name of Jesus Christ. And I know I've talked about her before, but I thought about my friend Ingrid McIntyre, who grew up a preacher's kid in the Methodist church, going to Sunday school every Sunday, youth group, doing everything. She became a youth minister and then went to work at the Board of Discipleship. And then in May of 2010, the floods came and hit Nashville. And for some reason, she went down to the banks of the river where Tent City was. Our homeless neighbors who'd made their home there and were totally flooded out. And in walking around and looking those neighbors in the eye and hearing their stories and hearing their struggles, she gave up everything, gave up her job, gave up everything to help them. And now she has this amazing nonprofit, Open Table, which we support. And she truly believes that through the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus Christ, we can eradicate homelessness in Nashville. And I don't know how many lives have been transformed by that ministry. Folks who have been on the street now have a place to live. I went to the opening of the tiny home village at Glencliff United Methodist Church, and our new mayor, David Briley, was there. And he was talking about how much Open Table had challenged him and drawn him forward in his journey. The transformation of the world continues because one faithful disciple made a bold move. And then I think about my own journey, my own transformation. By nature, I don't like confrontation. I hate conflict. I run from it. I've always avoided it. It's never been easy for me to say things that are less than positive to people. See, even that, I have to less than positive. You know, can't even say negative to people. But here lately, in the past couple of years, I feel the stirring of God to greater boldness and advocacy for those who have no voice. It started with a group of pastors I was taking a class with, and we were learning about how so many in our state don't have health insurance. And my friend was serving two rural churches, and he was telling us stories about people in his church. And he said, "Now, I'm going up to the Tennessee State Capitol to make a case for Insure Tennessee. And I want y'all to come with me." And I thought, oh, I don't want to do that. I can't talk to politicians. I'm not that bold. But I sort of got dragged up there, and I sat in the office of one of our senators, and I said what I thought, and the roof didn't come crashing down. And ever since then, I have felt God stretching that part of me to greater boldness, to speak in the name of God's love and compassion, in the name of Jesus Christ. So maybe there are places within you that you feel might never heal, or broken, dysfunctional relationships that you think are never going to change, or situations in the world around you that you have lost hope that anything will ever change. But may this story of Peter and John and the man at the beautiful gate remind us of the power of the Holy Spirit and the kind of transformation that can happen in the name and spirit of Jesus Christ. May we never underestimate the power of God. Amen. Every Sunday, our creed reminds us who we are and who we are called to be. We live into this creed with each and every day. So I invite you to stand as you're able and join with me in the creed that's printed number 883. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
As we come to a time of prayer, we lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have prayer requests that you would like to share, please fill out one of the gray cards that you find in the pew racks in front of you. You may indicate whether those prayer requests should remain anonymous and confidential, or whether they should be shared. You can place the card in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. This morning, we offer our sympathy to Dee Dee and Steve Brickner and their family, who are mourning the death of Dee Dee's mother, Mary Lillian Knight Clinard, who died April 7th in Fairview, Tennessee. Services will be held today, on April 15th, at Joanne's outside classroom at Bowie Nature Park in Fairview. Visitation begins at 2:30 with the service following at 3:30. We also announce with heavy hearts that former West End Associate Pastor Julie Halstead died on Sunday, April 8th, in Charleston, West Virginia, and services were held there on Thursday, April 12th. Let us now offer to God our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God of Abraham and Isaac, Jacob, and the ancestors of our faith, we come this day to praise your holy name. Yours is a name in which we have faith, a name in which we find power, a name that ushers in healing and wholeness, a name that shows us true strength and divine power. Be with us as we, just like the man lying at the gate, expect to receive something this day. Grant us holy sensibilities to understand what you have to offer. Remind us that the answers to our prayers may come in ways we never imagined. Help us know that you are faithful. Jesus Christ, your name is widely known, and yet it is so often rejected. Today we come to claim it again as we ask that you would indeed wipe away the sins of the world. At this very moment, we know that there are those around the world who are in need of your powerful presence. We pray for the poor and the persecuted, the lost and the hurting. We pray for those who are weighed down by systems of governance and economics, health care and housing, that are designed to benefit a select few. May your holy name awaken us to your living presence. May it call us into lives of loving, responsive grace. And may it shape the world as you intend it to be. Holy Spirit, in whom we live and move and have our being, we pray that our lives and the lives of our neighbors would be touched by your goodness and mercy. Whenever there is sorrow, may there be happiness. Whenever there is hurt, let there be mending. Whenever there is hatred, let there be love. Whenever there is stagnation, let there be transformation. Lord, we pray all these things and lift up other petitions that are in our hearts and minds as we enter a time of silent prayer. Hear our prayers, O Lord, as we join our voices together in prayer, as you taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As those who trust in the name of Jesus Christ, let us give our tithes and offerings to the glory of God's presence among us.
serve a transforming God who has the power to transform us and to transform the world. May we go in God's love, in the power of the name of Jesus the Christ, and in the love and fellowship and compassion of the Holy Spirit to participate in God's transformation.